Good morning.
I will be before you today with the sermon. I want to wish all the mothers happy Mother's Day. All those mothers who gave birth, those mothers who did not, who adopted, all those women who step in and fill in the gap and help support a young child, a teenager, a young adult. Mothering doesn't stop at 18. It doesn't stop at 21. You keep mothering until that child, until you're gone. And so I want to thank all the mothers out there who tirelessly work and do all the things they need to do that God has called them to do for the people that are in their lives. I want to stress that this is not just about the mothers who gave birth, but the mothers and the women who step and fill in the gaps, because there's gaps out there that need to be filled. And someone has to fill it. And I pray that the church steps up and it's us that fills those gaps. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this day, Lord Jesus. I thank you that I have the chance to be before your people. I pray that the message that you gave me, Lord Jesus, will edify your church, lift you up, lift them up, encourage them to go out and do the work, stay strong in every season of life that they go through, that they will depend and lean on you, Lord Jesus. So, Father God, we just thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. And we ask that you be with us in your name, Jesus. Amen. So, I titled my sermon, Seasons of Life. We all go through different seasons of life. I thought this was interesting when I started at this church. A friend of mine asked me what was my verse for the season of life that I was in. And I thought, season of life? Well, what are you talking about? She goes, well, everyone has a different kind of season of life. There's different things that we go through at different times of our life. And as I've grown in my walk with God, I realized that we have tons of different seasons. And no season is ever the same. And not every person has the same seasons. As the world has different seasons of weather, each season has things we love and things that we dislike. Fall is my favorite season. I love the colors. I love the colors of the leaves. I love that it's still warm. But I also know that after this season, my least favorite season's coming, and that's winter, because I don't like the cold. But each state has a slightly different season. They're not the same from state to state. It's different, but they each have a purpose. It's preparing the earth for what's going to happen, or giving the earth some time to rest. Now, just like seasons of the weather, we as people, we as mothers, we have seasons of our life. And today we're going to talk about the different seasons of three different women in the Bible. These women were mothers who had different seasons that affected them, affected others around them. We also have seasons of life. I think back of my childhood and I think about the times when my mom had different seasons in her life where she helped different people at different times, and each season looked different. Let's go to our first point. Mary, Jesus's mother. She had an unexpected pregnancy. I'm going to read from Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. I have a couple of different verses for each point that I'm going to read from, and you'll see them as I get to that point. So Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, of the descendant of David. And coming in, he said to her, excuse me, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angels answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative, Elizabeth, has also conceived a son in her old age. She who was called barren is now in her 6th month. For nothing will be impossible for God. Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary was young. She was engaged to be married. She was a virgin. I cannot imagine what it felt like to hear those words. But then she becomes pregnant. And Joseph was an obedient man. I'm going to read quickly Matthew 1, 20 through 25. Excuse me, Matthew 1, 18 through 21. Now the birth of Jesus Christ as follows. His mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, did not want to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people. Joseph was going to secretly send her away. Mary probably had fear of this. She had this unexpected pregnancy. She wasn't quite married yet. Can you imagine the stares that she would have gotten? The whispers about her and her life with Joseph? But Mary's words, she said, may it be done according to your words. She was willing to trust God with this unexpected pregnancy. She was willing to go through the stares, the conversations. It had to be uncomfortable, but she was willing to trust God. She was willing to stand and firm in what Gabriel told her is that this child was going to be great and he was going to be the King of Kings. She stood on that. Even through all of the unexpectedness, she was young. I don't know about you, but I think of sometimes when we have unexpected things happen in our lives, we want to give up. shut down. But we have to look at what the Bible says, that sometimes unexpected things happen. And something unexpected happened to Mary. She didn't plan this. This wasn't something that was planned out. This was unexpected for her. But she trusted God. She trusted God through all of it. She trusted God during the uncomfortable delivery in a barn. She trusted him when she gave birth to a son in a barn. There may have been plenty of days where she felt lonely, scared, and tired. But Mary stayed the course. She stayed strong, and she focused on what Gabriel said to her. She focused on that this was from God, that God had called her to do this. Now, some of our unexpected things that happen in our life is not always God's calling. It's not always something that God wanted for us. But that doesn't mean that God can't turn it around. It doesn't mean that God can't change the circumstance. But the thing is that you have to turn towards Him. You have to move towards Him in order for him to step in and work in that circumstance. You can't move away from him. You have to move towards him. Mary stayed connected. She stayed with God. She said she pondered this and she thought about it in her heart. She kept it. So when you have something that's unexpected happening in your life, it may not be something that that should have happened. But once it happens, you need to turn to God. You need to surrender to God. You need to seek God and be obedient to Him. Follow Him so that He can take that unexpected situation in your life and turn it into something good. I had an unexpected pregnancy. It wasn't planned, I wasn't married. But instantly, I knew that I had to turn to God. I had to turn to God. And it was the best thing that I had ever done in my life. Because of that little boy that I gave birth to, I knew that I wasn't going to be a good mom without the Lord Jesus. And at first, when I started going back to church, I went back to church for him because I thought I was a lost cause. But then God showed me that I too could be saved and that I too could live a worthy life. And because of that unexpected pregnancy, I stand now here before you, living for God, cheering for people to follow God because He can change your life. He can turn things around from something unexpected. Turn to God when something unexpected happens in your life. Stay the course, follow his guide, listen to him, seek him, and watch him do great things. Our next person that we're talking about is Naomi, point two. Naomi is Ruth's mother-in-law. If you can turn with me to Ruth 1:11. Ruth 1:11. This is one of my favorite chapters. I love Ruth. I love the book of Ruth because it shows the redemption and the love. So, verse 11. But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I said I have hope, and if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they're grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters. For it is harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone against me. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. Oprah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me worse if anything but death separates me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. She said no more. I'm going to jump over to chapter 2 and read verses 22 and 23. Naomi said, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with the maids and that the others do not fall upon you in the field. So stay close by the maidens of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. And I want to finish up in this chapter, in chapter 3, 1 through 5. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were with? Behold, the winnow's barley at threshing floor is tonight. Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. Do not make yourself known to the man until dark, until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you should notice the place where he lies, and you shall go uncover his feet and lie down, and then he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say, I will do. Now, I know that is a lot that we've read, but let me just break it down to you. Ruth leaves her land to be with Naomi. She's Naomi's daughter-in-law. They've been in Moab. And Naomi's husband and sons die. And all Naomi has left is her daughter-in-laws. And there's been a word that there's food. Back in Bethlehem so she can go back home. So she leaves and she tells her daughters to go back to their gods, go back to their parents, stay. Because these guys are Moabites. And they should stay with their people because she didn't know if there was a way for her to take care of them away from Jerusalem. But she tells them to stay, go with your people, go with your mom. Oprah leaves, but Ruth says no. Ruth wants to stay with Naomi. Ruth has no prospects of marriage if she stays with Naomi. It would have been easier for her to stay with her family. But why did she choose Naomi? Why did she choose a life that was uncertain? There was something about Naomi that made her want to stay. Naomi is mothering a person that she did not give birth to. She was loving a person that she could have just said, I don't want you to come with, just stay. But she was more concerned about their welfare than her own. She was more concerned about what was going to happen to these girls if they came with her. Because during this time frame, men were the ones that really helped women live. They needed a man to take care of them, to take care of the household. They weren't allowed to really have their own. But Ruth chose Naomi. She chose a life that she could not predict. And so they go back. They go back together. Ruth says, "Nothing's going to separate us but death." That's a powerful statement for someone that didn't give birth to her. But Ruth is determined to stay with this woman who she calls her mother-in-law. She loves her. Maybe it was because of the unconditional love that Naomi gave her, the guidance. Maybe it was something that Naomi showed her about God that was real to her, something that was more real to her than her gods. But whatever it was, Ruth was determined to stay with Naomi. And Naomi was determined to make sure that Ruth was well taken care of. Naomi was old. She knew that she couldn't take care of her. She knew that she couldn't provide for her. She needed to find a way for her to be provided for. And so she said, "Do this, go to Boaz, lie at his feet." And it did turn out well for her. She ends up marrying Boaz. She ends up giving birth to a child that now was Naomi's redeemer. So Naomi does benefit from this, but so does Ruth. Ruth ends up giving birth to a child that is part of the lineage of Jesus. Without her following Naomi, that would have never happened. So whatever Naomi poured into Ruth, it was worth it. Naomi played a part. There was a season in her life that she said, "I'm going to love these girls no matter what." And she loved them and she took care of them while they were in Moab for 10 years after her husband died. They stayed there. But when her sons died, she said, "I need to go back." And Ruth was like, "I'm coming with." There are times in our life that people that are not a part of the plan, that are not a part of what we think we're supposed to be doing, but when they step into our lives, we have to act. We have to love them. We have to be a part of their life and give them the things that God has called us to give them. I am big on foster care and supporting that. I am big on supporting adoption because that is us supporting those families that need it. It's not something that Naomi expected. And sometimes there's not things that we expect. It's not part of the plan. But just because it's not part of the plan doesn't mean that you throw it to the side. You don't throw it to the side. You say, "God, okay, this person's here. They're in my life. What do you want me to do with it? What do you want me to do? How do I handle this?" And you follow God's lead and you love on them. Because Jesus loved everyone that came to him. So let's think about that. Naomi mothered someone that she did not give birth to. She loved on them. So much so that Ruth was willing to leave her home, leave her parents, and follow her. That is something that to me, we all need to do. We all need to focus on loving someone that much that Lord that they're willing to turn away and turn to us and follow God. She said, "Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Your land I will lay with you. I will be there." But the best part that she said was, "Your God will be my God." It had to have been the behaviors that Naomi showed that made Ruth went the same God that she was following. And we need to live that kind of lifestyle as well. Point three. Moses' mother. This was a time that was difficult because all the babies were being thrown, male babies were being thrown into the river. I'm going to read Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married the daughter of the Levite, and the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child in it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance and found out what happened to find out what happened to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens. Walking alongside the Nile, she saw the baskets among the reeds and sent her maids, and she brought it to and they brought it to her. She opened it and saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away, nurse him for me, and I will pay you wages." So the woman took her child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, because I drew you out of water. Moses' mother had a decision to make. She knew what was happening to all the male children at birth. She knew that they were being thrown into the Nile to drown. So she hid him for 3 months. And I don't know how she did it because babies aren't quiet. But she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hold him, she put him in a basket that was waterproof. And I believe she prayed that someone would get her, that he would not be left in there, that no harm would come to him. His sister kept eye on him, and when she seen that the Pharaoh's daughter had grabbed him, she suggested, "Should I get a nurse for him?" So the mother got to nurse her son again. So she let him go, but then she got him back for a time. But she knew that once she was done nursing him, that she would have to give him back to Pharaoh again. She would have to release him again. But she chose to give him life by giving him up. That's a sacrifice. She carried this child in her body for 9 months. She loved this child, but she knew she couldn't keep him. She knew that if someone found him in her home, that he would surely die. And she wanted to give him life, so she gave him up. There are things in our life that we have to give up that we don't want to give up. Sometimes it's our children. Sometimes we have to make that hard decision that right now, where I am at, the life that I am living right now is not what's best for this child. And I'm going to say that a mother that does that is strong. They're not selfish. They are thinking of that child. To give your child up to someone else is not easy. And I'm sure that Moses' mother, that was hard for her. That was hard for her. But she trusted God. She trusted that God had a plan, that he would not, that nothing bad would happen to him. So she placed him in that basket, praying that God would watch over him, praying that he would survive. There are times in our life where we need to really focus on God and ask God, please help me through these decisions. Help me make this decision. Help me get through this difficult season. I'm sure there were times where she missed him. I'm sure there were times where she wondered what he was doing, where he is at. But she trusted that God had a plan, that he was watching over him. And you know what? He did have a plan. He had a plan for Moses. He needed Moses to be alive because he needed Moses to save his people, to bring them out of Egypt. He had a plan. She didn't know what the plan was, but he did. God knew. And in all of our stories, God always has a plan. He had a plan for Mary. He had a plan for Naomi. And he had a plan for Moses' mother. Now, not all of the plans are as grand and as big as these three mothers. But no matter how big or how small God's plan is for us, it is for us. And every season that we go through, he is with us. Because he's got a plan for that season to grow us, to stretch us, to bring us to a point that he needs us at. Our big ideal today: God will never leave you. He will never leave your side during the difficult seasons. When we deal with unexpectedness, when we deal with things that are not a part of our original plan, things happen in life. Things happen in life. Pastor Michael played a verse, Matthew 28:11, and there was a mother that was talking about how sometimes motherhood can feel so insignificant and unthankful. And I gotta be honest and say, as she's reading and as she's talking, the tears are streaming. Because as she's talking about unthankful, and sometimes it does feel that way. But as she's talking about that, my phone is chirping to me because I'm getting text messages from my kids, from my bonus daughters, and they're all wishing me a happy Mother's Day. And I'm sitting there holding my beautiful adopted daughter in my arms. And I realize that in all my seasons that I have had, God has used every single thing. And I wouldn't want to change a thing. There were some rough moments. But I've had a chance to play a part in so many children's lives, so many young adult lives, that I've got to point people to God. I'm still pointing people to God. And I had to thank him because I realized that during all of those times, he has a plan. And yes, it can be thankless. Yes, it can be tiresome. Yes, it can be hard. But God will never leave us during these times. He will never leave us. And the original plan may not have been ours, but it has always been his. We may say, that wasn't part of my plan. I didn't plan on having this happen. But that's okay because God already knew. And in all these things, God is always by our side. God will never leave us. So I asked you, will you let God walk with you during these seasons of life? Will you let God walk with you during these seasons of life, because he's got you in every season, whether it was planned or not. Will you let God walk with you? Amen.